May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Vindicate me, O God. That is how Psalm 43 starts in a different translation than our prayer book Psalter. Nobody wants to be wrongfully accused. Nobody wants a false charge to stick. Innocent until proven guilty, right? But as careful as American courts may comparatively be in trying to ensure that the truth comes forward and equitable justice is served, the fact that an organization such as the Innocence Project, which exists to free people who have been wrongfully convicted, is a sobering reminder to us that only the triune God knows the whole truth and is able to bring perfect justice. Of course, the court of public opinion is even more vicious. How many people feel that a murderer still walks free when they see pictures of O.J. Simpson, easily forgetting the football accolades and the burgeoning acting career that made him a beloved American icon before that slow speed chase of a Ford Bronco decades ago? And stories abound from ex-cons trying to make a go of it after they've paid their debt to society, only to find that the stigma of jail time keeps them from finding a job and a home. So some reoffend, so at least that they get a roof and three square meals. People are far less merciful than they should be, considering that no one is righteous before God without the blood of Jesus. Psalm 43 is one of the milder of the imprecatory psalms. That word imprecatory describes those psalms in which the worshiper comes before God and asks for his just intervention, expressing at times a desire for some fairly brutal acts of divine vengeance on occasion. Those more extreme psalms can serve as a safety valve for us in rough times, because it reminds us that we can legitimately blow off steam in God's presence and he won't smite us. He knows our hearts anyway. But neither should we expect God to curse people that he longs to save. He may let them taste a bit of their bad medicine, but our wishes for the well-being of others must include our enemies, especially on this side of the cross. Besides, God desires that none should perish, but that all come to a knowledge of the truth. So while we may be permitted a holy hissy fit on those occasions when we can't take it anymore, our deepest hope should always be that every man, woman, and child should meet and follow Jesus for themselves to experience the forgiving, healing, providing love of God. Thankfully, our psalm today gives us a better model to follow than simply getting stuff off of our chest in prayer. The psalmist feels betrayed by people who are falsely accusing him of some wrongdoing. So he goes to God first. He doesn't call his lawyer. He doesn't hire someone to deal with the problem. Instead, he comes to the one who holds all truth and right in the palm of his hand. He knows our needs before we even ask. And so we can come to the Lord with any trouble that burdens our souls, especially when we find ourselves confronted wrongly about some perceived misdeed on our part. In fact, the psalmist considers God's strength, his refuge, in another translation. You see, God is so trustworthy that even the psalmist is surprised that how heavily this whole situation is weighing on him. Why am I so downcast? Why does this thing bother me so much, considering how faithful God is? It's good that he questions himself. Anxiety can spiral out of control in its own feedback loop if we don't try to stop it somewhere. Our feelings of worry, doubt, and fear can escalate when we catch ourselves brooding over an unjust situation. But stepping outside of himself for just a moment, the psalmist asks himself what a good counselor might. Why are you going down this emotional dead end? God is faithful. He can be trusted. We can depend upon the Lord because he loves us and knows us and is well acquainted with our situation. We might be caught off guard, but God isn't. Then the psalmist asks for a redirection of his thoughts. He asks for divine enlightenment. Let your light and your truth dominate my thoughts, O Lord. Indeed, he wants his thoughts to be drawn heavenward. He wants a celestial perspective. Not necessarily a bird's eye view of his problem, but a worshiper's view of the Lord himself. He comes before God's altar expecting to encounter the living God, not his deathly problem. This isn't mere distraction. This isn't denial. This is remembering what's most important. Our anxieties can become an unwelcome idol when they dominate our thoughts. They can be nigh unto demonic in the way that they squeeze God from our view and consume our mental energy. But when we allow the Lord to become our focus, our problems, however unjust or desperate, however overwhelming they may seem, they will shrink in their importance in comparison to the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then the psalmist begins to feel his heart lifted. He's set free to worship the Lord wholeheartedly. Remember not long ago when the psalmist exhorted us to sing? Well, the psalmist enters right into that number today. He's marching with the saints this Sunday after All Saints Day. He's shredding a solo on his harp. He's allowing joy and gladness, or exceeding joy in another translation, to become the order of his day. He's replaced worry with worship, praise with pain, mopiness with music. Worship isn't something God needs because he's insecure. It's something we need because we are. And of course, God deserves the praise simply because he's God. But worship has the added benefit of keeping us humble, joyful, and even sane. Then the psalmist takes renewed stock in his situation. Why are you so full of heaviness, O my soul? Why, now that you've been brought before the very throne room of God, the one who made you, who rescued you and loves you forever, why in the world would you still be downcast? How could you, considering who God is? Our Lord is the source of all truth. He's the only one who can judge justly. He's the only one who surpasses the biggest problems on our minds. And he alone can absolve us of any accusation, whether false or deserved. In an age when our darkest impulses run rampant, our deepest fears dominate us, and our days seem to grow more dangerous as they pass, Christ's flock needs to model the exception. We cannot allow anxiety to overwhelm us. We cannot allow false accusations to weigh us down. We cannot allow worries to consume us. Thankfully, the psalmist describes a way out of that black hole. Look heavenward. Remember who our triune God is, and fully enter into that abode of worship where joy can overcome the idols of despair. Then we'll see the Lord's vindication is close at hand. Let us pray. Lord of all truth, justice, and love, by your Spirit, calm our anxious thoughts. Give us heavenly perspective. Allow your joy to become our strength as we worship you. And then help us to see indeed that the accuser of the brethren is cast down at the foot of the cross. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen.